Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Russell Crowe is a big fun tub of goo.
Doxing Dunaway's dealer.
Use the same hole.
He's hot-blooded, boosted, and C. Got a fever of 103.
The same context.
The Vegas booster.
Sweaty Lyft driver, where can I take you?
The age of these kids are the stranger thing.
Upside down cats.
Too much vax, not enough wax.
It's mostly the cocaine.
Put the mental condom on.
MGM has the best streaming unless you count the fountains at the Bellagio.
Minor spoilers from major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's Billy. For her over-the-hill birthday, make her feel young again with a performance from Billy. He can really get the blood pumping and the action going.
Remember me?
You taste like a burger.
I don't like you anymore. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's Monday, July 11th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. It's Brian Ibbett over there. Hello.
Hello. Happy new, brand new, spanking new week to
you. Yeah, man. Woo. Let's get shit done, I guess. I don't know. It's like another week.
Sure. What does it mean? We could get shit done. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
This is a big week for me because two things. One, I got a birthday coming up this weekend.
You do. Yeah. I need to get a package out to you. I'll talk to you offline because I want to bypass your P.O. box and send this right to your house.
Oh, you can do that. Yeah, you should have my other address, don't you?
I'm sure I do somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course I do. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you send stuff to my P.O., I don't think. As far as I know.
I do either, yeah.
But anyway, and then as part of my birthday, that's how I'm justifying it, my Steam Deck will be here on Friday.
Ooh, a little birthday present to yourself that you ordered like 4 months ago, 5 months ago or something. Right?
Well, a year ago. I've been on that waiting list for a freaking year. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's a long time. But finally ready to ship. It has shipped and I'm just tracking it now. So it'll be here Friday, right in time for birthday. And then my wife's doing something nice for me, which means early programming note. We're not here next Monday, okay?
Oh, okay.
The rest of the week's fine. Everything else is good. All other shows unaffected. The only thing affected is Monday's TMS because we'll still be out, but we'll be home.
It's funny because that was going to be the day I was in Vegas.
I know.
Before I changed dates.
It was going to be a perfect storm, but then, dates had to change, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're still going
to
try
to figure out.
We're going to try to do it while you're there, right? Like,
I think so, yeah. It all depends on... Because I'm definitely taking the iPad. I'm not taking a laptop, but I believe we should be able to do something the morning, the second morning. The first morning, who knows? We might have to do some.
We'll
have to
again?
Figure it out. Because I'm leaving early that morning.
Are you in the MGM again this time or no?
I am in the MGM, yeah.
Oh,
which seems to have really good
internet
for streaming.
Yeah, for whatever reason. It's like the only hotel on the strip that has decent streaming.
It is, yes.
I don't get it.
And I did pay for early check-in, so even if we don't do a normal time we start,
yeah,
we could do a, all right, Brian's checked in his room, it's time for a quick TMS
sure. kind of thing. Yeah, we could bang something out. We'll figure it out.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Would you rather have dead air, everybody? Or would you rather have,
Air.
MGM Air.
Live air. Live scented.
Scented air.
Highly oxygenated air.
All the air around me is scented, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. I know what you mean, Scott.
So we got some stuff today. Let's hit this first. So there's a reason we didn't have a PM this week, which I've already told everybody on Patreon because I did a post about it. So they know what happened. But tell the rest of the world what happened, because here's what happened. I decided to get, as soon as I could get in, I was like, I'm going to get my COVID booster because I just want to get the, I just haven't gotten my most latest. And with the uptick in build BA5 or whatever, plus, you know, got some plans coming up. I just want to you know, be prepared. Same with Brian. He's like, yeah, I got to go to Vegas. Let's do this.
Let's get that booster 2 weeks before Vegas. Let's make sure it's settled into my body.
Yeah. Let's fight off whatever viral load we can, this sort of thing. And so I go in on Thursday, and I know from the previous three shots, whatever it's been, three, I guess, total, four total now with the booster, that I've never had a reaction to the COVID Pfizer thing. Just never been a problem. Right. I don't even get really tired. My arm's a little sore, and that's it. So I wasn't worried about that. I go in there, and the guy's like, chances are if you hadn't had reaction to those others, you should be fine. You'll do good. And Kim goes, oh, also, I need to schedule him for a shingles vaccine. Our doctor's saying we should get that. And if you're over 50, you're supposed to just get it. Mm-hmm. And so she says, or the guy goes, oh, yeah, we can totally do that. And I'm like, okay, cool. So he'll tell us when later, and I won't worry about it. Then later, comes out and says, yeah, we can do both today. We'll do them today. And I said, oh, you can do both of them now? Yeah, not a problem. And I go, like, at the same time, he says, oh, yeah, well, just one after the other. And I said, well, is there any problem with that? And he goes, oh, no, it's not a problem. I mean, you're probably going to have a reaction to the shingles vax, because everybody does, and it's a little rough, but no more than you're used to. Blah, blah, blah. He's really talking it down.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, would you need one arm for each? He goes, nah, we'll put it in the same arm. Here, we'll just put it right here, right below this hole I'm going to make here. We'll put it right there, which, by the way, is still very tender in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, mine's still a little bit. As well.
If somebody hit you, it hurt, right? That's how that would go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than it would if someone hit you without a shot.
Hit me in the other arm, for example.
Yes. So I'm like, well, are you sure I can have this in the same arm? That seems a little crazy. Dunaway said, why not the same hole the other day? And I'm like, no, they didn't do the same hole. But anyway, I said,
same arm increases chances that you'll it'll be like a super soldier serum reaction. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, precisely what I want. But no, that didn't happen. Here's what he's the pharmacist. I'm supposed to, you know, I'm no expert at anything.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, look, dude, I trust you. It's fine. Let's go ahead. Let's do this. He does it. The COVID shot I didn't even feel going in. The other one felt like a burning anus. It was really hurt to go in, and I could feel that one spreading through my arm and stuff. So I go home, and within an hour I'm a wreck, like fevery and weak, and my skin feels like it's on fire. That shingles thing is no effing joke, and it knocked me out for a good 24 hours straight. And and here's what happened, and I think you described this once. Out of nowhere, after just a miserable 24 hours of just feeling like absolute death, fever, burning skin, just could barely move without it hurting. It was so bad. All of a sudden, break out in a cold sweat, gone. Done.
Oh my God.
All good, fine, 100%, zero problems, no big deal. But that's why no show Friday, because I was wrecked that day. So then Brian gets his shot on Friday. Brian, how did it go for you?
Well, first shot, no problem. First shot in the original COVID series, no problem. First Moderna shot. Second shot, I was out for like about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. First booster took me out for about most of a day, most of the waking part of a day. And it was always the day after the shot. Yeah. This one being the fourth, it seriously is like it's increasing each time. Like my body is having a harder time, like, okay, all right, this, well, we got this, just all right.
Yeah.
Had it done on Friday night. I started feeling feverish, and pretty much all of Saturday I was rocking a 100.1 degree fever.
So then he's a huge mess for all of Saturday.
Huge mess. So. I slept in a little bit. We didn't do film sack. I slept in. I will let you know that instead of just resting like I probably should have, I did go out and drive Lyft. But it wasn't like I was sweating the entire time. And it was a shot. I wasn't like...
You're not dying or anything.
I'm not dying, and I'm also not contagious. But it's like, all right, where do I go? All right, I'll take you to the... Take you to Lens Crafters. Okay, let's go.
That's too far. Get out of my car. Get out. Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. I'm impressed you even did that. But yeah, I was just on the couch and played Diablo 4 or 3. I wish I had 4.
Nice.
For hours and hours and hours. And it was the only way I could whittle away the time. And then when I was fine, it was like, oh, I'm fine. If Brian's fine, we're good. And then Brian was like, as bad as I was. And so we're just like, yeah, you know what? PM ain't happening this week. Just not happening.
Yeah. Scott's Friday was my Saturday, although I think you still had it 20 times worse than my Friday, my Saturday. I was still functioning. I was able to go out and do stuff, but
it was really bad. Like I, real shingles far worse. Like, I'd much rather deal with a day long of my body feeling like it's being attacked, but not really.
And see, you got to feel good that you've gotten that over with. I now still have shingles vax to look forward to, right? It's like,
when are you doing it? Have you scheduled it or anything?
No, not after your not after your description.
It's apparently like on the rise, hardcore. It's tied to stress. It's like it's an age and stress thing. And there are plenty of younger people get it, but everybody I've talked to, like, oh, that was the worst week of my entire life. Great. Or that was the worst month of my entire life.
Well, it's causing its own stress. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It's like the snake eating its own tail. Mm-hmm. Now I've got the stress of the shingle shot, which apparently is triggered by stress.
Yes. Yeah, basically. And it's essentially, there's this other thing where he tried to explain it to me, but he's like, if you had chicken pox as a kid, but not the chicken pox vaccine, you should get this. If you had the vaccine and never had chicken pox, then you shouldn't get this. But I think you and I are the same. We didn't have the vaccine as kids, and we both had some form of chicken pox at one point or another, right?
So I definitely had chicken pox, which I guess means I didn't get the vaccine, right?
If I think
gotten the vaccine, I wouldn't have chicken pox.
Plus, I don't think they had it when we were the age that you would normally get. I don't think it existed yet. I could be wrong about that.
Should have asked my mom. We had her over for dinner last night. I should have said, hey, after I had chicken pox, did I get like any follow-up vaccines for it? I mean, you don't think you would get that, like, because you say, oh, okay, you only get chicken pox once, so
I think that's the deal with that one. But anyway, this guy was like, you know, all telling me those stories, and I'm like, well, I know I had it, and I know I didn't have the vaccine because we looked. And anyway, it's like chicken pox on the inside.
Don't worry, people.
It's like the chicken pox on the inside of your body is how it feels, they say. Right. So it's like having I don't know, like, pull your skin out and then on the inside put a bunch of lesions and growths and shit, and then just have that happen. And it happens a lot in people's faces. It's like kind of like meningitis a little bit in terms of the pain. And everybody I've talked to says the worst pain they've ever had. So what I'm saying is I was okay, you know, living with that for a day rather than some nightmare months-long shit show. All right?
Yeah, exactly. I'll get the vaccine. I'll wait until, I don't know, till there's like a couple days of life that I can just throw away and park. Let me know when there's a nice new bingeable TV series that drops all of its episodes on day one. And that's the day after I get the shingle shot.
That is the trick. I think there's also supposed to be a follow-up in months from now, but I have to talk to my guy.
That's what somebody in the chat was saying too.
Yeah. Because somebody was originally saying, oh, it's like 1 week later. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And the guy at the place says, oh, no. You don't need it a week later. I'm like, well, you're telling me to do it the same arm, same day. What do you know? Brian, how was Thor?
Saw Thor Thursday night. Had a, let's just get this out of the way right now. Had a great theater experience. You know, when you go opening night, you feel like you get the people who are there to see the movie and experience it the same way you want to experience it, right? You don't get the people who are like, well, what do you want to do today? I don't know, but I definitely want to do a lot of talking. I know. Let's go see a movie.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So good movie experience. The movie itself, not as fun as Thor Ragnarok. If you have not seen Thor Ragnarok in a while, I would recommend watching it because there are some direct references to that and stuff that happens in Thor Ragnarok. So you definitely want to check that out. I'd say that the Rotten Tomatoes, what was it, like a 69% Rotten Tomatoes score, is a little on the low side, but not too low. Like, I'd still say maybe 75% for me, with Ragnarok being one of my favorite Marvel movies at 95%.
Yeah, and that's the site basically agrees with you. It looks like it's got a higher audience score, but it almost always does for this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me about
Better, way better than Free Rangers is better or worse than Thor 2. Better than Thor 2 by far. Thor 2, there are some moments that you should, like, and Scott, I know you're one of them. Mm. That if you haven't seen Thor 2, you should see it because there are some important things that happen in that film leading into Thor 3 and 4, which I know you've seen 3. I know
so 4 right so now. 4 has some reference to 2?
4 does have some reference to 2, yeah. Mm. And there's even speculation that things that happen in 4 are because of 2, but that's... But who knows if we'll even ever get reference to that.
Okay. Is Heimdall in it? If he's not in it, no sale. Forget it. Is he in there?
Well, Heimdall died in Infinity War.
Then forget it.
So I don't know.
Then I'm out.
I don't know how they could possibly have Heimdall.
How these Marvel shows or things go. They can make anybody alive again.
I'm not saying anything because potential spoilers. So no.
Damn it! All right.
I'll spoil Infinity War, but I won't spoil this.
My first thought when I saw the cast, or when I saw the movie and saw the full cast for the first time, was this is the first reuniting of Christian Bale and Russell Crowe since 310 to Yuma. Think of that.
Oh, no kidding. Look at that.
They were opposite each other there. I assume they're not here because I don't know if Zeus and Gore have a run-in or not, but you won't tell me because that's a spoiler.
I won't say that either. Yeah. I will say that Christian Bale was excellent casting for Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah.
He's great in every scene that he's in. I'll say the same thing about Russell Crowe. Tina actually didn't even realize it was Russell Crowe until the credits were rolling at the end. And she's like, wait a minute. Zeus was Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's like, wow.
He's kind of a tub of goo. He's a bit of a tub of goo now, that guy.
He is. Yeah. But you know what? He's a jolly tub of goo. Like,
I love him.
Used to look like a jerky bastard, and now he just looks like a big fun tub of goo.
Yeah, big fun tub of goo. Exactly right. He's also has the one unique position, I think, maybe in Hollywood. I could be wrong about this, so if anyone knows anyone different, let me know. But I think he's the only one that's in all three. I have to say it three with a wink because I'll get to that in a second. He's in all three major cinematic universes. Now MCU, DCU, because he's Clark's dad.
He's the dad, yeah.
Jor-El, or no, what is it?
It's not Jor-El. Oh, yeah, it was Jor-El.
Jor-El?
Right. Kal-El's dad. Yes,
yeah,
it's
Jor-El. Jor-El.
Yes.
And then he was in the failed Universal Monsters and cinematic universe as Dr. something, whatever it was.
Will he make it into the Mattelverse? Is that the one? Is that the one that they're saying is like G.I. Joe, Micronauts, ROM, the Space Knight, Transformers? No, that's two different
Hasbro
things.
Right? Hasbro?
The first three, right, Hasbro universe, the Hasbro cinematic universe. But yeah. I think Transformers are not part of that same universe.
I'd say get him in there, but right now I think he's, if you've got things that are labeled cinematic universes and genre film, he's now your guy.
Yeah. His business card is right at the top of the stack.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right, well, I want to see it, obviously. Probably wait because I don't care about theaters.
Yeah, sure. Win Mega says, right, question. Mid credits, after credit scenes? Come on, it's a Marvel movie, of course, and they're worth it.
Are they ever going to do a movie that doesn't have those? The answer is no.
No, they really haven't.
They can't. They've established the norm. So.
Right. They've started, and by the way, started with Captain America 3. They started doing the mid credit scenes And so there's always going to be mid and end scenes going forward.
They've been doing end since Tony Stark and then mid since Captain America.
Yeah.
Why they've established a new norm, and you change that and everyone will be pissed, even though it's not really that big a deal, but they'd be mad. Fans would be mad.
It just dawned on me that Thor is the first of the MCU films, the MCU franchises, to get a fourth film, because Iron Man did three, Captain America only did three.
Wait a minute.
Captain America one.
First Avenger, Winter Soldier, Civil War.
Why does that seem wrong? Where am I? You said Civil War. Wait a minute. Am I missing one? Where's the other Captain America? There's one more Captain America.
Yeah, Spider-Man got a fourth, but is it and Avengers? Okay, technically, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't count. You can't count that.
I'm talking the individuals and Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man has only had the three: Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home, right?
Yeah, if you're only counting the Holland run, yeah.
Yeah.
So they just had the three. I think you're right. And until the new Avengers, well, not new Avengers, new Captain America with Falcon, that'll be four.
Just got announced. Yeah. The director just got announced for that one. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Well, no, Claire, we know there's nine Spider-Men, but we're not going all the way back. There's more than nine. There's like old shit, too. If you're going to count everything, right, you got to go way back. But interesting. Well done, Thor.
Let me say this. The first of the individual Marvel character franchises, as far as not a team, that's solely Disney Plus and not Sony involved, to get a fourth movie. Is that enough clarification?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's totally fine. All right.
I think it still works as, because MCU, if you're saying MCU, then it works without that qualifier, because technically Holland's in the MCU, but the previous stuff was not.
Right.
I mean, it's being kind of wedged in now, if you know what I'm saying.
It is. Yes.
Anyway.
MCMU. Yeah. Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
So I made, and all of this comes down to this, I made a Fred and Can today that is all about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So when that goes up later today, enjoy, everybody.
Nice.
All right.
Can't wait to see that. So anyway, I do recommend Thor 4, or Thor, with a U, 4, Thor.
Oh, geez. I hate that. Yeah. I hate that so much.
Yeah, don't. That'll be the last time I ever. That's the first and last time you're ever going to see me do that.
Never going to happen again. Yeah.
But I do recommend it. But it's good. It's all right.
Yeah. Would you say I know how much you love Guardians 1.
Yes.
Guardians 2 is kind
Guardians
of the same.
2 is still in my top 10 favorite movies.
But I mean, is it the same relative difference between
the that's
movies?
A really good question. No, because I think Guardians 1 and 2 are neck and neck as far as how much I love both of them. Guardians 2 opens with that amazing Mr. Blue Sky intro that is one of my favorite thing. I think my favorite thing ever done in a Marvel movie, in an MCU film.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, my favorite scene.
For me, it was Captain America kicking ass in an elevator. Woo! Well,
he can hear do that all day.
Yeah, he could do it all day. All right, speaking of people who can do things all day. Brian Dunaway can do things all day. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I can indeed.
Yeah.
I can talk like this all day.
You're an all-day kind of guy. I've seen you do it. I've seen you pull it off. I don't know if it's the cocaine or if it's the meth. I don't know what it is. But,
it's mostly the cocaine.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a regular source? Do you have somebody you've been working with for years? Do you have to, mail order for your cocaine? How do you get your cocaine these days?
I can't share that with you on the show, Scott. But thanks for asking.
All right. I understand.
Jeez, man.
Look, keep things personal.
Dox my guy.
You're going to dox your dealer? You don't want to do that? Oh, it's a shame.
Bad idea.
All right. Well, Dunaway's here because we're going to play a game. It's called The Morning Half Asses. Brian Ibbett here is going to explain what it is and what lucky listeners might win.
Yeah. Welcome to The Morning Half Asses. It's a trivia game where I'm going to actually give Scott and Brian all the answers that they need. I'm giving them to you. I'm going to give you a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct. Three of them are incorrect. And depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. Now, if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Oh. But if you guess one and get it right, you get a point. Guess two and get them right, you get 3 points. And if you guess all three correct answers and you get them right, then you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Speaking of contestants, we need them, and we'll pull them from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. So, Scott, you're playing for John Hikes from Anaheim, California, the nice. Happiest place on earth.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Hikes!
Brian, you're playing for Per Eriksson from Ooh. Sweden, the snowy northern part. So glad we don't have to ship anything to Per Eriksson. No. So.
Is it Per like... Well, I guess I could look. How's it spelled here?
P-E-R.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
How'd you hear the rumor? Well, it was Per Eriksson that I heard the information. Anyway, right. Cool.
I get $5 per Eriksson that we pull into a trivia game.
That's a good deal.
All right. Let's go ahead and get things started. I see both of you are in the game board here. And give you question number one. Buildings that are older than the U.S. So buildings that are older than the formation of the United States. Your choices are the Alamo. Remember that one? Mount Vernon, Faneuil Hall, University Hall in Harvard, Fort McHenry, and Ford's Theater. Let's pull them up here so you can take a look.
There we go. It's like these are big. You are going to have words on your
words, right?
Interesting. Buildings
these are all
older
United
than the U.S.
States buildings.
These are tricky.
That are older than the U.S.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme to rock a rhyme to pick a thing before the U.S.
It's tricky.
Older
tricky,
than the
tricky,
U.S.
Tricky,
that means
tricky.
Older than the original founding, not necessarily Western expansion
You'd
or all
probably
that.
Probably say the year that the United States was...
I've locked in answers.
All right, I'm going to go.
Because I'm a half-ass.
I'm doing two of these. All right.
All right. Okay. Here's the fun thing. You've both locked in with the same two answers. The Alamo and
win
Fort
or lose.
Fort McHenry. Of course, 1776 is the year that we're saying if it's older than that. The Alamo was formed or was built in 1744, so well before 1776. Fort McHenry was built in 1798.
No! Damn it.
Both got that one wrong.
Oh, we did.
Mount Vernon, 1758, and Faneuil Hall, 1740, the oldest one.
Who does he think he is building a hall?
No kidding.
Right? Hall.
Is that still here? Is that still a thing I can visit?
It is. And I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure Boston is where you're going to want to go to see that. Isn't that? I hope that's correct.
Right. I don't know. Greg, are you in there telling us? Yes. Tell us, Greg.
Rusty Nails confirms, yes, in Boston.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
Well,
let's get to
get out of the. When I get out hanging out with Ted Danson, I'll head that way.
Yeah. Get that done.
There you go. Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. All right. Let's get to question number two. The original Care Bears. Ooh. So three of these are the original Care Bears. Three of them are lies. Care-a-Lot Bear, Friend Bear, Clyde, Oopsie Bear, Love-a-Lot Bear, and Funshine Bear. Ooh. Three of these are real. Three of them are made up.
Interesting.
Three of these bears are full of bull crap. One time when I was a kid, my sister got a she got one of those Care Bear cakes, and it was pretty good.
What?
Just a sheet cake?
Yeah, it was a sheet cake. It was sheet cake. And you know, when you get a sheet cake, you're thinking, oh, look, all the cool stuff on top of it. That's all got to be edible, right? Mm. Nope.
No.
I ate a big old fat wax bear.
Ooh,
oh,
fat,
no,
don't eat
really?
Don't eat a wax bear. That's horrible.
I do not care a lot for it.
Yeah, that'll clog your urethra.
Wax bear, not on our list today, wax bear. Right. You guys have both locked in. You guys both picked Care a Lot Bear. You also, Brian, picked Friend Bear and Love a Lot Bear. And Scott, you picked Funshine Bear.
That's perfect.
Those three are correct.
Oh.
Look at that.
But Care-A-Lot Bear is not. So Friend Bear, Love-A-Lot Bear, and Sunshine Bear are Care Bears. Score still locked in at 0-0. Points.
Love-A-Lot Bear sounds like something's going to come in a discreet brown package in the mail.
By the way, Oopsie Bear is a Care Bear, but wasn't introduced later. Until 2006.
Oh. Yeah, that's one of the ones you could write on, right?
Oh, really? And, wait, what happened? What did Oopsie Bear do? Why was it Oopsie? Fall over a lot? Clumsy or something?
No, because you wrote on it. Whoops, I better erase that.
Oh,
really?
Or like
is it dry erase bear? Basically,
dry erase bear.
I think so, if I remember correctly.
I like it. Dry erase bear slate. Would have been I would have bought that. That's incredible. All right. That's fine.
All right. I hear the Supreme Court is trying to overturn Oopsie Bear. Let's get to question number three.
Sweet.
Characters in Mary Poppins. Three of these are actual characters from the film Mary Poppins. Is it Roger Radcliffe, Mr. Dawes Sr., Admiral Boom, Sergeant Tibbs, Bert,
Admiral
or
Boom.
Perdita?
Perdita? What the frick is that?
These all feel right.
It's the original Mary Poppins. The shared a lot Mary of stuff Poppins. With the new one, but it's
the
probably not.
Mary Poppins. Well, I know. Yes, I know one at least. That's a no-brainer.
One of these sounds like a wrestler to me.
Right.
I think we can guess which one that is, too.
Yeah, it just looks like one. All right, I'm locked in.
All right, Scott's locked in.
I'm locked in. I know two. I'm kind of on the fence about a third.
All right. I'm going to tell you right now that the two of you have each picked different ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
One of you has picked correctly. Your two are actual Mary Poppins characters. All right, let's reveal your answers. Mr. Dawes and Admiral Boom are indeed Mary Poppins characters. Good job, Brian. Sergeant Tibbs
is like from 101 Dalmatians, right?
As are Sergeant Tibbs and Perdita.
Oh, yes,
those
right.
are all three of them. All three of them Sergeant are from 101 Dalmatians.
So I thought Sergeant Tibbs was the guy that shot the cannon. It's probably Admiral Boom.
No, it's Admiral Boom. They're Boom. A little on the nose.
Yeah. Played by Dick Van Dyke. And then you've got Bert, who is played by Dick Van Dyke. And then you've got Mr. Dawes Sr., who was not played by Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, he was played by his brother, Jerry Van Dyke. And
I take that back. Mr. Dawes Sr. was played by Dick Van Dyke. Admiral Boom was not played by Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll just have to believe you.
Dawes Sr. And Bert were Dick.
Well, that means you win, Brian. B-Boy D wins. Wow, look at you with the win.
Congratulations, Brian. That means that Per Erickson, you're going to be getting a copy of Out of Space and We Need to Go Deeper. Kind of sounds like two... like. Yeah. Like a game and its sequel.
Yeah, like a game and some DLC.
I'm out of space. I need to go deeper.
Yeah.
But don't worry, John Hikes from Anaheim, you're getting a copy of Carto, C-A-R-T-O.
Oh, Carto's Carto. Great. That's the little cute cartograph game we played last year on the show.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was the one name that was a little bit familiar, but I couldn't place it. I've not heard of We Need to Go Deeper. I have played Out of Space, also very good. But as usual, these are all good games. You guys are... Cool. Truly winners. And there's how we know.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
That's right. You've won.
You're a winner.
Brian, you'll send them to them because you have their email addresses.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, probably
you
doing that now.
You have been instructed to do the thing that
that's
you
right.
do.
Dunaway, here's the deal with you. So over the weekend, we did Film Sack and watched Empire State, which is like a little weird compared to what we all expected, I think.
Very.
But we had a great show around it, which is really all that matters. So go check that one out, filmsack.com for details if you don't already have a sub to that podcast. And then, of course, tomorrow you and I will be doing Play Retro, where we talk about the grand history that is Capcom's titular character, Mega Man. Mega Man!
Mega Man!
That's
Mega
right.
Man. We're doing the NES Mega Mans 1 through 6 and talking about the SNES Mega Man, that Mega Man X, and we'll touch a little bit into the PlayStation 1 and that Wily Wars that's on the Sega Genesis. But don't be disappointed if we don't get to all the Mega Man. There's 100 freaking games.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mega Man. We're only going to hit the early stuff. and
the 8 and a little bit into the 16 bit.
Yeah. And we may talk about this guy.
That's a good question.
He may come up.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, Mega Man.
Wait a womb.
Anyway, that'll be tomorrow, 3:30 Mountain Time for the live show. Of course, the podcast after that. Brian Dunaway, you have anything else to say for yourself?
Yeah, you would know Mega Man better as Rockman.
Oh, right? Yeah, he's Rockman in Japan.
Right.
That's Rockman, right. Yeah. Rock, Paper, Scissors Man.
Yeah, kiss our butts.
All right. Not to be confused with Jumpman.
No, Jumpman and Rockman do not exist in the same space. Well, they are on the same consoles, I guess, but that's
yeah, that space. But you have to pull one out of that space to put the other one in.
That's right. If I know anything about space, it's that. All right. What time is it? Oh, it's perfect time for some news. Let's get some news done. Here you go. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Yeah, brought to you by Amanda, who goes by Amanda Catherine X in the chat, is participating in the Walk to End Alzheimer's in Irvine, California, and would love any donation you could throw her way. This will be the last Alzheimer's walk that she participates in California, as she and her boyfriend are moving to Tennessee. Amanda walks for Grandma Jane, who will be 92 years young in October and has suffered from Alzheimer's for almost 10 years. She also walks for her parents, Grandma Jane's full-time unpaid caregivers, and all the families who deal with this debilitating disease on a daily basis. Donate any amount by the end of July and you'll receive a piano request. Amanda will contact you with the details, but essentially she'll learn and post a video of a piano song of your choosing. That is so cool.
Yep.
Donate. Write this down. Donate at act.alz.org/goto, all lowercase, G-O-T-O, /Grandma Jane with the G and the J capitalized. That's act.alz.org/goto/Grandma Jane. And follow her on Instagram at Amanda Catherine X for her progress. Thank you so much, Amanda. And thank you for doing all that for such a great charity.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I like the end Alzheimer's stuff as much as I like the MS stuff.
Yeah, let's end it all, I say. Let's get rid of it.
Let's get rid of all of it. I'm you know what? I'm good with all that.
Yeah, let's eradicate disease. How about that? this is some big money. Let's talk about big money. Diablo Immortal, the mobile version of the Diablo franchise that finally came out not long ago to a lot of consternation and anger about their way they make money and whatnot.
Downloaded it and have not launched it.
Ah. Well, you may
not. I wonder why.
Yeah, you may not want to. I don't know. But they're making more than $1 million a day despite that criticism.
Wow.
Yeah, already. $1 million plus a day. And this was like last week when they counted it, so I think it's probably more now. But anyway, according to the data, the mobile entry in the Diablo franchise, which released last month, has sustained a steady stream of revenue despite ongoing criticism from fans of the series. Revenue from the title peaked just over a week after launch, with Blizzard earning $2.4 million. However, now, over a month after release, and with negative public sentiment still surrounding the game, Immortal is pulling in more than $1 million per day! Wow. That's a lot! It's a lot of effing money for a mobile game.
We need to do our mobile game, Scott. Our comic book Diner Dash game. We need to do it, Scott. Finally.
Okay, Now's the time. Who's programming? Call us. Poke us. Who can do all that? I'll make Carter do the artwork. That way Brian and I can just sit from chairs and point.
I'll record character noises.
Angry customer sounds and all that. Oh, man.
Exactly.
What are you paying me for this?
you make
what we make, which is right now nothing. But look, if we start pulling in $1 million a day, we can pay you a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Taika Waititi is one of my favorite.
Oh, I like
things.
That guy.
Yeah, he's great. You just saw a movie he made.
I did, and was in too.
Yeah, he's Korg. I always say Korg for some reason. Anyway, he asked, so Natalie Portman's also in the Thor movie, right? This is an amazing story.
Oh, she was. She did make a brief cameo in this one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Little tiny one. That's all we'll say about that. I mean, whatever, the trailer gives it away, so.
Yeah. We all know who she's playing in this thing.
Yeah. Anyway, he asked Natalie Portman, I love this story. So basically they're on the set. I just want to do it justice. They're on the set, and she goes, so you're working, there's word you got a Star Wars project in the wings. And he goes, oh yeah, I'm finally making progress on that, and it's been one of my favorite things to work on, and I loved working on Mandalorian and blah 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 and all this stuff. And he asks her, you think you'll ever end up in a Star Wars universe, end up in a Star Wars film? And she had to remind him, yeah, dude, I'm in three of them. he just freaking forgot.
Yeah.
And that she was in those prequels. I mean, look,
you know, I think if I were, I might want to forget I was in those as well.
I love that story though. And he, you know, he of course was all self-effacing and, you know, kind of cracked him up or whatever, but he goes, the exact quote was this: Nedley said to me, "What do you do next?" He explained. And I was trying to work with some Star Wars thing. "Have you ever wanted to be in a Star Wars movie?" She said, "I've been in Star Wars movies. I forgot about those ones." And then he laughed. I like that, like, though.
Not just like a brief cameo. She was one of your like three top billed people in those three movies.
Yeah, it's like asking Mark Hamill if he thinks he'll ever end up in a... I mean, sure, we can hate the prequels all we want, but she's in three prequels as a major character.
Hey, Taika Waititi, ever think about doing like a vampire film?
You really have a... You want to have a guy in the basement named Peter who lives in a coffin, sleep standing up? Freaking love that movie so much. Yeah. Oh, that new series. That new season's coming on the 12th. So, Carter, we got a backlog. We got to finish season 3. She's in the chat.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you got to finish that. I mean, you know.
We got to get that done, because if the 12th comes and we're not ready for new episodes of What We Do in the Shadows, what are we even doing with our lives?
You know what's coming back tonight for the final batch of episodes?
What?
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. See, I'm perfectly primed for that, because I am caught up to the season, but not the first half, because I hate that wait in between crap.
Oh, I know. What is that? That this new garbage of like, all right, new season coming out, but just half of it.
Yeah, half seasons are stupid. It's a construct of the devil. I hate it.
And it initially started happening because of the writer's strike, right? At least that was the first time it happened when we were around. Like the Breaking Bad was split into two half seasons. I think Lost was as well.
Yeah, we had a weird Lost thing. Exactly. There was some other thing like this. Maybe it was Battlestar Galactica, but again, that may have been during the strike.
It might have been during the strike, and this split final season can just suck up, you know.
Yeah.
Or split any season. Stranger Things.
Yeah, and they did the same thing with at least some of the Game of Thrones. So, if it's a way for you to deal with production issues, I get it. But it feels like they're being carroty on a sticky, you know?
Yeah, right. It's like, doing, you know, it's like, oh, people have finally subscribed to AMC Plus, but they've stopped subscribing when the show that they've been watching ends. How do we get them to stay? I know. We'll split the season of the show they're watching the most just longer than a month or a couple months, because they won't think it's worth it to spend the time to cancel in time for the next one.
Yeah, it annoys me. I think they should change it, because you and I don't like it. That's what I
think. We don't like it, and that's reason enough.
Yeah. Check this story out. So this is interesting. I actually had this question, and I wish I would have said something about it, because this story is going around like wildfire. A pregnant Texas woman driving in an HOV lane told police her unborn child counted as a passenger, so they can't give her a fine. I mean, think about it. If your entire state government is going to make the claim that the child is a human being from birth.
I like this a lot now. Yes.
Or if they're a human being from conception and that fetus is always a separate entity, well, then you got to count it for your freaking traffic laws. Sorry, them's the brakes.
I think you could drive home from a one night stand and say, I could be pregnant.
You never know. I'm going in the HOV lane, baby. Woo!
Prove that you can't. Yeah, I love it.
An unborn fetus, a human being in the eyes of Texas traffic laws? Well, pregnant Dallas area woman argued as much to police officers after they recently cited her for driving alone in the HOV lane, according to a story published Friday afternoon by the Dallas Morning News. Did you go there? Is that one you did?
I did. Oh, I spent a week at the Dallas Morning News.
Whoa, that's how come nice, so long?
They had so many clients that had to be trained and installed. So I went there with Clifford Fuel, a trainer extraordinaire that's now living in Wyoming. Really good guy. I talked to him over the weekend.
Wow.
And he did the training sessions while I while I did all the installations. And at night, I'd go over and I'd check out Dealey Plaza, or I'd go like I had so much fun that week. It was great.
Mm.
A lot of great barbecue that week too.
What'd you say his name was, that guy?
Cliff Fuel.
So Cliff Fuel sounds like dog food, doesn't it? Why do I think
what
that?
Do you mean?
I don't
why
know. Do you think? Oh, I'm thinking of Clifford the Big Red Dog. That's why.
Oh, okay. Oh, fuel for Clifford.
Because as soon as you said it, all I think of was dog food, and I wasn't funny. Sure why, and now I get it. Okay.
No, he spells it very different. He doesn't spell it F-U-E-L as in like fuel for your car.
And he doesn't go by Clifford, I assume. He just goes.
He does formally. No. Yeah, I mean his name is Clifford Fuel, but he goes by Cliff.
Clifford Fuel.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, by the way.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes,
I like Wyoming. The country.
And he's on a. I could send you a photo, man. He is on a. Like a ton of space and acreage and here I'm giving you a photo right now in your text.
Get some Longmire shit going on here, man.
That's Cliff and his wife Molly.
Let's see here.
Get a load of that photo.
Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, that's beautiful. See, yeah, I want to. I could live there.
Yep.
Look at this, you guys.
Yeah, you can share.
Beautiful. Oh yeah, I should have asked, I guess. Look at that though. Beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. I want that mountain right behind me. That's what I want.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have mountains, but they're not right there like that.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
Togwotee Pass in Wyoming. Wind River Lake and Togwotee Pass, Wyoming.
That's cool. You guys keep in touch. Oh, and he's wearing your shirt. Look at that.
He's wearing my shirt, and that photo was taken by the real Chris Brown.
What?
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
Not the rapper, the other one, right?
I said the real Chris Brown.
Oh, okay. Well,
not the rapper Chris Brown, but the real Chris Brown.
The rapper Chris Brown might argue that he is the real Chris Brown. Because he's
like to see him prove it.
Kind of a dick.
Because Chris Brown, my friend, actually has the Twitter handle, the real Chris Brown.
Really? What does Chris Brown have? Just Chris Brown?
Just Chris Brown, probably.
The wrong Chris Brown?
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so here's what happened here. This is a Plano resident. She was on U.S. Highway 75 en route to pick up her son when she found herself at a checkpoint facing a citation for using the high occupancy vehicle lane while in her car, hence HOV, everybody. I was picking up my son, and I knew I couldn't be a minute late, so I took the HOV lane. As I exited the HOV, there's a checkpoint at the end of the exit. I slammed my brakes and was pulled over by police. She said officers asked her if there was any more occupants inside her vehicle. Pregnant with a daughter, Betone told the officers her unborn child was inside the car with her. I pointed to my stomach and said, oh yeah, my baby girl's right here. She is a person, she says. However, the officers were not buying it. He said, oh no, it's got to be two people outside of the body. Oh, I see. We're very specific now about when that counts.
Right. It's got to be two people outside of the body? Wait a minute.
Interesting. In a related story.
Yes. Oh, gosh. All right.
A hot dog eatery offers free drinks with proof of vasectomy. Brian, you're in. You're all in.
Oh, cool. I just have to show my scar. Is that the deal?
That's it. It's okay. Called the right. It's the Snip for Shake promotion. Is what this is called. It's a Nashville eatery. They're offering a creative deal to support male birth control. Free milkshakes for customers who show proof that they have had the procedure. All right.
Nice. Okay.
That they have smelled of the burning numb flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. The cauterization, the scent of your own privates being burned shut.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. They said we thought this would be a fun and unique way to get the word out about vasectomies for men. Says Sean Big Daddy Porter. He owns Daddy's Dogs, a hot dog restaurant in Nashville. That sounds great. I would eat that right now.
Actually does, yeah. I'm sure they put tons of stuff on those dogs.
That's right. He says it's a way to put the ball in the guy's court and will hopefully help break the stigma that comes along with men's health, he says. After the fall of Roe v. Wade, abortion is expected to be outlawed in half the U.S. states. Tennessee is one of the 13 states with trigger laws banning all or most abortions after the Supreme Court ruling. A six-week abortion ban in the state took effect on June 28th, outlawing the procedure before many people even knew they were pregnant. Tennessee ranks 41st in the country for women and children's health, dodged by high rates of maternal and infant mortality, according to blah, 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 blah. So anyway, he thought this would be a good thing toward that. And by the way, Google Trends right now shows a spike in searches for the term vasectomy. So I don't know if that means people are trying to understand what it is or they're trying to get one. I don't know.
Oh, or they're trying to give involuntary ones to members of Congress that are members of the Supreme Court that voted to overturn, maybe.
Yeah, that's what you should do. Hey, hey, yeah. Clarence Thomas, come get your snippy snips. Anyway.
I'll that's do it with a pair of garden shears if you'd like.
Yeah, it's no problem. That's as no political as we get today, everybody.
That's it. That's as far as we go.
That's as far as we take it. All right, moving on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, everybody's favorite comic nerd, Major Spoilers' own Steven Schleicher, will be here. Got a lot to talk about with him, so stick around for that. But we need music. So, Brian, music.
Yeah, we're rocking out this week. The four songs that we're going to be playing on, as far as ending the middle of this week, I think people are really going to enjoy if they're like, hey, Brian doesn't play enough rock and roll. Because that's what somebody who would complain about me not playing enough rock and roll would sound like to
100%.
Me. 100%. Just like that, yeah. That voice right there.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Edge Out Records for this one. This is a brand new single from a band called The Revelries. Their debut full-length album is due out this year. Produced by Matt Wallace, who produced albums for The Replacements and Faith No More. So there's some great pedigree right there. Here's the song Sleep Talk by the band The Revelries.
To wear my flannels and do anytime. I tend to ramble, and you don't like when I gamble in the middle of a summer night. You tell me we're so wrong, you tell me we're so wrong, but maybe we're just right. I know
My dairy-based frozen confection creates a focal point to which the young males of the species are drawn. You are correct. It is far superior to yours. I could attempt to educate you on the finer points of this subject, but it would require monetary recompense on your part.
My name is John Johnson, but everyone here calls me Vicky.
The Morning Stream. I got a middle finger.
We have returned. Who is that song, please?
That song is a band called The Revelries from Louisiana and a song called Sleep Talk.
Nice.
And by the way, that clip you just played, Phil Hartman from So I Married an Ex-Murder.
My name is John Johnson, but everyone here calls me Vicky.
That's the one.
Yeah. Cliff Fuel used to do that. Speaking of Cliff Fuel earlier in the show, used
oh, no
to do
way.
That whole that whole bit, the whole Cliff Phil Hartman bit.
That's great.
From that film, yeah.
Well, it's a good movie. We should all watch it again.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Might be my favorite Mike Myers movie.
You hard-hearted harbinger of haggis.
I think it might be my favorite. I don't know. It's almost
Id!
Like it's like, it's like two movies, that movie.
It is.
And
yeah.
So I like one of the movies a lot that it is, but the other movie that it is, I'm not sure I like as much as I like the other movie that it is, if that makes any
and,
sense.
And Ex-Murder Woman, I had such a crush on her. Nancy Travis, is that right?
I don't know. That sounds like a name I would know. Or... it's definitely a name.
That's right, Nancy Travis.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, or am I like combining two country singer names or something?
Oh, Randy Travis, yeah. I'm gonna love you forever. I like that song, by the way. I could listen to it now. Yeah. I won't, but I could.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Anybody. Anyway. Hello. We're here.
Anybody.
Let's get Steven in it, because that's his deal. Hold on. Whoops. There we go. Okay. Here comes Steven Schleicher, everybody. Let's play his little theme song.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher joining us as he does every Monday to talk about pop culture, movies, comics, and more. Hello and welcome back, Steven. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian. I will make a quick correction. Not every Monday, because we weren't here last Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously,
true.
We're not going to be here next
Monday. No, because I'll be gone.
Obviously. Somebody's their birthday.
Hey, whatever, man. I'm going to...
A full day of...
yeah.
Is that your joints season up on you, Scott?
Sure. That's all
Scott
that is.
Walking around his house.
Yeah, that makes sense. Carter probably quit the chat now. Anyway, I wasn't going to tell you. Oh, I'm also on your show this week. So there's lots of.
Yes, you are. We're going to be talking a lot of different things. It's a general topic show. So anything goes, Scott. Whatever you want to bring to the conversation.
I don't even know. I'm going to think of those things. I'm going to put them in those notes, and then you're going to decide whether to veto those ideas or not.
Yeah.
That's how
maybe
that
we'll
works.
Talk about how Scott's excited about his Steam Deck arriving.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
Speaking of the wink wong, wink wong.
Yeah, I may never go to sleep.
That's going to be Scott playing with his Steam Deck.
Yeah. Speaking of the wheat wah, wheat wah. I love your phonetic spelling of that. That's really
wheat
good.
Wheat wah, wheat
wah. All right. It's good to have you here, Steven. Let's get into it. Stranger Things Season 5 scheduled for February. That's pretty quick turnaround. What's the deal?
Well,
there?
I'm pretty sure that they filmed everything back to back to back because, you know, if those kids get any older, they're all going to be walking around with their joints aching.
Yeah.
If they go any longer. And considering how Season 4 ended, no spoilers, they do need to wrap this up.
That said, Millie Bobby Brown still manages somehow to look like she's 12
mm-hmm.
or 13. In
she does both sides of it.
I know she's 11.
She can look really young in the show, but then she can go to a red carpet affair and she looks 38.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is I probably don't agree, because I do think that she looked like a 20-year-old in the stuff that was taking place in the present. And of course, the stuff that
obviously
did in the past was all
the flashback stuff was superimposed head on a kid's body.
Did make her look like a 30-year-old on an 11-year-old's body.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, she is 18, I guess. So she should be at that perfect age where she can cross over and look high school and, you know, all of that. Yeah. But it sounds like, I mean, I haven't watched the season. I'm way behind. I've watched season one of Stranger Things and that's it.
Oh,
so yeah. Season one, super, super good. Season two, season three just made me angry. Season four, I felt really, really good about. And if they can make season five as good as four or bring it back around to season one, then I'd be really, really happy. They've been talking about how season five is of course wrapping it all up, and it's all going to be taking place in Hawkins. Again, no spoilers right. for what happened at the end of that season, but
yeah,
it's bringing it all back together.
Season four is some of the best writing on television.
Yes,
that I've seen this year. It's so good.
So,
and
so
maybe that's why you do need to take a big break between seasons. Of course, this one had COVID and Ghostbusters interfering a little bit with it.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're Flynn Wolfhard.
Flynn Wolfhard. Yeah.
He had to go do business. Do you think should I skip two and three? Or should I?
No.
You need to, because otherwise you'll be completely confused.
Yeah, okay. Story elements that carry all the way through sound a bit.
There are some good elements of season three. The thing that made me the angriest is, even though the special effects are mostly always digital, season one made it feel like you were watching an 80s movie or television show.
Yeah.
But season, because they kept it like, okay, this is what it would be like if it was a real... practically shot thing, even though it's CG. But in the opening, the first episode of season three, they did this whole Fast and Furious, let's run through an engine kind of thing, and it's completely CG, and it just pissed me off from the very beginning. And I was like, well, I'm done with that series. So
Well,
but you came back around for four.
Oh no, I came back. No, I watched all of season three and four, and it's great. So
yeah, okay. I thought there was a couple elements, location elements of season three and season four that I felt were unnecessary, but I think all in all, I like season three, not nearly as much as season four, but
season four really feels like they're trying to tap into the Last Stand kind of vibe, where the story is taking place across 50 different environments, and somehow it all works together. Yeah,
for sure.
So I guess what I'm asking is this. Better to go binge all that, or should I read a synopsis somewhere?
No, binge it all.
Okay.
Binge it all. Yeah. Because
I could probably find a pretty good story breakdown somewhere that just tells me what happened.
Yeah, but you're going to miss a lot of the little subtle things that as an 80s kid you would really appreciate.
Right. And there's some story notwithstanding, some great character development in two and three that you need for four.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All especially the relationship between Eleven and
Max.
The dad.
Okay.
Oh, Hopper. Okay. Hopper, I was thinking next scene.
Hey, who's Hopper married to? What's his name? David Harbour. Do we know who he's married to? Somebody's super hot.
Sydney, I think. Sydney Harbour.
David Harbour. The reason I asked this is, hold on, let me pull this up. Here he is. David Harbour, currently with, oh geez, David Harbour, where are you, buddy? Lily Allen, that's who it is. He's married to Lily Allen.
Get out, really?
Yeah. I didn't know this. They got married in 2020. Did you know this?
I had no idea. I was making a joke about him being married to Sydney Harbour, because that's where Sydney Opera House.
Oh, the actual Harbour. Got it. I thought, is there a girl I don't know about? But yeah, Lily Allen.
I did not know that. Lucky man. She's a catch.
She's pretty great. Okay, so there's that. Let's move on.
Wow.
And Stranger Things spinoffs. Don't forget, those are coming. What do we know about those?
You're going to get a stage play, and that's, we know for sure. But other than that, we don't know. There's going to be other stories set in and around Hawkins.
Stage play. Will it be meta, like within the Stranger Things universe, or a stage play?
I don't think it's going to be a play about Stranger Things like we see in Thor 3.
Right, okay. We're not going to get the other Hemsworth and Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon, right. in Thor 3, yes. But I think it's something that is basically, here's the story of an upside down on a stage.
Okay. All right, interesting.
Thought you were starting with Brady Bunch.
It'd be nice if it's a musical. I'd love it if it was a musical.
These are
the Stranger Things.
These things are so strange.
Need to get Andrew Lloyd Webber to score it.
Yeah,
right, I think so. I think it'd be great.
Actually, who did the Mormon one?
The
Parker and Matt Stone.
South Park.
They would be great too.
They would be. I love their stage stuff. So good. Oh my gosh.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, so they're also working though on a Death Note anime series. They want to do that. They're also doing a adaptation of with Stephen King.
Netflix.
The Upside Down Pictures people are things they're doing next.
Gotcha. So
anime series on Death Note. They want to do the Stephen King Talisman book adaptation. They've been brewing for a while. They also teamed up with Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment and Paramount Television for an adaptation of The Talisman, which will be initially optioned as a film, and then a miniseries, then a film again before landing on Netflix. Yeah, I'm down with that. The Talisman, good the original time. Adaptation is real bad. It's not good. So a new version of that would be fine. Let's do that. I mean, these guys are basically raised on Stephen King, right? That's their whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
May as well go ahead and do one. all right. What else is going on? Oh, 8 Billion Genies.
This is an interesting comic book series.
My dream chat room.
Yeah. No, 8 Billion Genies is this really cool series that debuted a couple of months ago from Image Comics.
I got it.
Yeah. Over my head.
Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead. Continue.
So the premise is, what would happen if a genie appeared for every person on the planet, more or less, and you only had one wish? What would happen in the first 8 seconds, the first 8 minutes, the first 8 hours as wishes are being granted? And again, you only get the one wish. What would you wish for? Would you take your time, or would you just blow it out right away? Mm. I think the second issue just came out a couple of weeks ago, so issue 3 should be out in the next week or so. But the premise is really exciting.
That's a really cool premise. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
there are some people that waste their wish right away on, I want a lightsaber, and then don't know how to use a lightsaber and start a fire that burns down the city. Right. Then there's other people that are like, and this is minor spoilers for issue 1. A lot of issue 1 and 2 takes place in this bar, and the bar owner instantly uses his wish to prevent any crazy wishes that are happening to the world from affecting the bar and the people in it. So, you know, if there's a giant kaiju that's stomping through the city, his bar is going to be protected.
I wish that there was a bubble around this bar against everybody else's dumb wishes.
Yes. And then there's an argument to be made where one parent is like, Genie, I don't want my kids. I want my, kids to have my approval before they grant their wish, because kids are stupid and are gonna wish for stupid stuff. And the genies are, oh, that's very interesting. And then what happens with the world powers? What is the president of the leaders of the different worlds? What do they use their wishes for? It's a really cool thought experiment turned comic book via Twilight Zone that is going to be adapted into I think a television series from Amazon Studios.
Yeah,
the series is from Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. Charles Soule, if you haven't read his stuff, he does a lot of the Star Wars adaptations and other things as well. So,
and we don't know if this is going to be live action or animated.
No,
or...
we don't. We don't know. They just acquired the rights to develop it.
Interesting. I love this concept.
I'm guessing live action, if I had to guess. Okay. So I see here there are only like four. Oh, weird. There are only 3 issues of this 8-issue run, and they're already getting optioned like this.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, it is really good. I read issue 2 without reading issue 1, but there's enough in issue 2 that you can tell what's going on with very little effort. But I would say it is akin, and maybe this is why Amazon is jumping on this. It feels like, depending on, you know, it's just 8 issues and then it'll be done. But it feels like the early days of Walking Dead. Not that there's zombies out to kill everybody, but just chaos.
Just
and
the chaos,
what do people do to survive in this world of chaos.
I love that crap.
Why the Last Man too? Like the
yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dice Mato says, is there a wish queue, or all of these happening concurrently? All of these are happening concurrently. There's 8 billion genies. There's 8 billion people, more or less, and everybody gets a wish.
Yeah.
And I imagine the first thing they explain is how you can't wish for more wishes.
Correct. That's not how that works.
You gotta have that. You gotta sign the EULA, Brian. Every time they do this, you gotta sign a EULA before you can.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So I'll give another wish away in the book, because I'm sure it's a kind of an interesting twist. Is President of the United States orders his chief of staff to wish that the United States is all powerful country in the world and will last forever? Blah 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 blah. And the chief of staff does that, and then the president calls up North Korea and says, we are the greatest, give up now. And then Kim is like, no, we are the greatest. And then the genies explain, well, when people wish for the exact same thing, like all the leaders of the worlds do, all those wishes cancel each other out.
Oh, so you wasted your wish, you dumbasses.
Yeah, there's a bunch of monkey paw. Kind of thing. Yeah, there's a bunch of monkey paw stuff going on here.
Man. Wow. I am going to read this. This sounds freaking great.
It really is fun. And if there's 3 issues out now, grab them, because It's interesting. The art is cool. The way that they illustrate the genies is very cool. It reminds me a lot at times of Carter's art.
I agree. I'm looking at these covers, and it's that's something about that looks like her stuff. That's good, crazy.
Good comparison. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. And so if they make those genies animated and everything else live action, that would be cool.
Yeah. I'm looking at some actual variants here. The variant covers.
I wonder if Charlize Theron is going to be in this, because there'd be a lot of wishes, I think, that involve her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem. Does that cancel each other out? Like, if 12 people want to go on a date with her and they none of them get it, I don't know how that works.
Is that explained?
So it's an image joint,
at least,
right?
Not in the first 8 hours. So I'm maybe in issue one it is, but in issue two is 8 hours, and I think issue three, I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure that one takes place eight days later.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
So this is an image joint. If you want to read these comics, you can get them on Comixology or wherever you get your digital comics. I assume you can get these in stores.
Or you can go to your comic book shop, and they probably still have some.
Yeah, they probably have some. So do it now before the popularity explodes because of this damn TV deal, all right? That's what we're saying. You saw Love and Thunder. Did you like it? Brian liked it. Did you like it?
I liked it very much. And without spoiling anything, I will say this. Go in prepared, because there are some heavy emotional things that take place in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like stuff that you're just like, ugh, I don't want to think about this. Or, ooh, this is a little bit too... brings me down thinking about these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's coupled with moments of zaniness. And I think that's what everyone's biggest complaints are, is it feels unbalanced because it goes from super heady to super funny back and forth. There are two writers on this because, as you mentioned earlier, Scott, there may be a certain person who was writing a Star Wars movie while he was filming this movie. So that could be part of it. But I think I have a better answer that might... I want to get Brian's opinion on this. When we talk about mythology and we talk about mythological gods,
I think you want my opinion on the first part you just said.
Oh no!
So,
okay. Go ahead on the first part. Yes, no.
I do agree. Yes, and okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about gods and mythological gods, and their beings, they're all played up as these great, grand, emotional things, right?
Yeah.
As great adventures, and they can do no wrong. Blah 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 blah. This one, the funny parts come because we are being told these stories after seeing the actions, and the stories are being built upon in a way that makes these heroes great. So, for example, minor spoiler. There's a moment where Thor is angry and he punches a vending machine.
Oh my God. Jeez. Critical.
I know, right?
Changing point of the whole film.
I know, right? And then he walks into a room with all of these. With all of these snacks, and the person says, I heard a noise out there. And he's like, oh yes, I found this closed refrigerator, funny in the middle of this very serious bit, but it is the narrator. And this happens a lot. We have the, what's the concept? The,
unreliable narrator.
So all the narrator. Funny bits in all the funny bits in this movie come from an unreliable narrator.
Yeah. I don't like that. I mean, I don't like it in general, but it sounds like it's probably not that bad. It's okay, right?
Because when you think about it, the stories that you hear, especially the stuff that's like, here's the flashback, here's the things you know, who's telling that story, and why are they telling it that way? And it comes off funny, even though we see the real stuff.
You agree, Brian? You think that's...
I do agree. Yeah. I think that is an accurate point. And I also do agree that the unbalance of the lighthearted stuff to the heavy stuff is one of the issues, maybe not the issue, the biggest issue I had with it, but maybe
a lot of that's the biggest complaint I see from everybody though. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard me talking about it earlier, but basically I said, if Ragnarok is a 95 for me out of 100, this was like a 75.
Yeah. I would put it up a little higher. I'd probably put it up to the 80, 85 range.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We don't get the Hulk at
my
all,
wife
right?
Really loved it. I mean, she came out and she was like, I really like that.
But was it a Hulk free affair? He's not back to have any fun here, right?
I said I was going to make it spoiler free, anything. Except for the punching of the refrigerator.
All right. Don't tell me then.
I mean, this is completely a remake of Wrath of Khan, so
100%. And
people are still angry at me about
that. And a New Hope. Yeah.
Yeah. And a New Hope. Exactly. Well, all right. There's that. Also, you sent me this Utah connection. This is pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So the FANX, we heard about this recently or locally, but the FANX founder in some deep doo-doo. Tell me what happened.
So years ago, we could rally around this guy. I don't know what his name is, but we would rally around him because he wanted to call the Salt Lake Comic-Con without the hyphen. And a San Diego Comic-Con took offense to that and took him to court. And he eventually lost. And he would go around with, you know, cars wrapped in Salt Lake City Comic-Con advertisement, drive around up and down the San Diego Comic-Con venue and honk his horn and all this stuff. And really, you were like, yeah, stick it to the big guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he lost and had to change it to FANX and everything.
Yeah.
And now he's been accused of making a bomb threat to multiple places around Salt Lake City. So now he's in some deep doo-doo for that. So I want to know what's really going on, Scott.
Okay, so... Yeah. So
this is the real scoop, Scott.
So this guy, this Brian Melvin Brandenburg, he's 63, lives in freaking Hawaii now. So the talk is that they have some proof anyway, they say they do, that he either threatened or attempted or, I don't know, went to some lengths to get it going to bomb the Salt Lake Temple, the University of Utah, where my daughter's sitting right now. Carter, careful. Mm-hmm. Check all the hallways.
Look at your desk.
And the Matheson Courthouse, which is like our big downtown Salt Lake City courthouse. If that's all true, he's screwed because they'll extradition, but they'll get him out of Hawaii and back here. He was already kind of a controversial figure because he was just really pushy to get the, you know, he wanted Utah to be the premier Comic-Con and they wanted to see San Diego wane and they wanted to see everybody come here instead and do all the big Hall H shit here. And he had grand plans and, he's in trouble. That guy,
I'll be honest. I look at this guy and I don't think, oh, here's a guy who got into the whole Comic-Con thing because he loves comics and pop culture and sci-fi movies and all that.
This guy looks like,
I see dollar signs in Comic-Con.
Exactly.
What I like about this photo collection of him is that the top left photo, right photo, makes him look like he's holding a lightsaber in the one just below it.
It does.
I think that's amazing. But anyway, I kind of...
Actually... look closely. I'm gonna give you something, Scott.
Okay, what do you got?
Look closely at that large photo, the big photo on the left.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a close up.
All right.
Zoom in on the left side. His left side of his mouth.
Let's see here. Oh Lord! Gosh dang it! Why?
He's got the white stuff forming in the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, he's got Ted Cruz schmutz in his mouth.
He should be extradited just for that alone.
Oh, my Lord, that's gross. All right, well, I hope look, if he did that stuff, he should go to jail, man. You know, bomb places,
for sure.
A-hole. Sure. People who think I have all the money, got all the power, freaking F off. All right. Well, there you go. On that happy note, we're going to resume this a little bit tomorrow night when I go get to be on the Major Spoilers podcast with you and the boys, and I'm looking forward to it. Is there anything else this week that you want to mention that people should be checking out or listening to? Oh,
good Lord, it's going to be hot this week. So not a whole lot else to do besides just rest, relax, and stay hydrated.
Yeah. You know what? I like that advice. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Bye. Advice. All right. Cool. He's gone. We have a few things to wrap up here at the end of the show. First off, a Monday morning mashup called Throbbing Manhood. Gosh, I can't imagine what that's about.
Golly, I remember the reference. I remember saying it. I don't remember what it was in reference to. So let's hear it.
Yeah, let's find out together as we play this from Jamie. As always, the master of mashups. Here you go. So I'm going to start doing pigs. So that's cool. I like a pig. You like a good pig? I like a good pig.
I do like a good pig.
Yeah. Is there a wiener? All right, I'm in.
Dearest Martha.
Dear Martha, I was a vampire today.
This is my 14th day in the haunted mansion, waiting for them to start the cars again.
Turtles get most of their oxygen through their cloaca, I think I said. In a process.
I love the pause right before you're going to have a euphemism for anus.
Yep, you know, we got to emphasize the emphasis.
Going down those first hills at 20 miles an hour in 55 degree weather with a wet jersey. I'm glad that my jersey had reinforced nipple area because otherwise I would have torn those things up.
Yeah, that's a brisk bit of wind, isn't it?
My nuts, my nuts, my nuts.
A young child asked, can grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? I think a kid would like this.
And they lived happily ever after. Now I'm back off to heaven, Billy.
Supreme Court of Ohio indefinitely is the word I'm trying to freaking shove out of my face. Here's another one from Morehose. This is from Brian from Denver, not you, but Brian Dowd.
From Morehose, sending us email.
Yeah, we got Morehose writing in.
my pimp is a big fan of your show.
He really loves the show. He walks down the street with his cane and his huge and then listens to your show.
His giant.
Yep. Just yeah, like it was never, Yuri Petushkakov or some guy on the street in Russia. We know that. You know, Petushkakov.
Petushkakov, yes. Hey, I'm Yuri Petushkakov. Why are you picking on me?
Yeah, Johnson? why you give me a hard time?
Amazingly enough, my tender bits wasn't hurting back on the seat.
Well, that's good. Amazing. That means you're getting calluses down there. You know right, what I mean?
Exactly. Also, I like how this discussion just made 173 people think about my taint.
That's enough to hear about your chode.
That's right. Yep. Everybody visualize it.
Put it in
imagine
your
it in your head.
Yep.
Can grandma read me a Harlequin romance novel?
Yeah. I feel like we just
is throbbing manhood unleashed. It's
his throbbing pectoral muscles. There you go. That's where your throbbing manhood came from.
That's right there. Nice. Yeah. I was wondering.
Yeah. You never know till you get there. Thanks a lot, Jamie. As always, TMS Mashups on Twitter if you want to follow him there. Hey, Brian, tell me about Jigger Dad. What's going on?
Yeah, so he is doing a ride for cancer, the Enbridge Tour Alberta for Cancer 2022, raising money for that and doing a big marathon ride as well. I don't know how long their marathon is, but this is going to be his second ride that he's done to raise money for Alberta Cancer Foundation. He's just a couple hundred under his goal. So if you'd like to contribute, please do. Go to bit.ly/jiggerdadbike. And that's JIGGER, like the thing that you pour an ounce and a half of liquor in to measure it for a mixed drink. Jigger Dad Bike. That name, by the way, is a playoff of his the pronunciation of his name, Paul Jiguer, which is French, I believe, for the measuring cup that you use to pour alcohol into a mixed drink.
Is that really called a jigger?
Yeah, it's a jigger. Those
I've never heard of
that. Silver things that's a
I've seen
a jigger,
them. Yeah, I've seen those, but I didn't know. Obviously everything has a name, but I've never heard anyone call it that.
Also a name for one who jigs,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yes. It's also, you know, when you're saying jigger dad.
Yes.
Just be careful. You know, not you, but you did great. But the rest of the world, be careful when you say it. Just be careful.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be careful. Yeah, just be careful.
It's a good...
You should always be... Just be careful in life.
Yeah, always really. Be careful. Put the mental condom on and be careful. That's awesome,
but,
though.
Yeah, very great cool. Great cause. And he's part of our D&D group. And super, super nice guy. And this is, anyone... Walking for ending Alzheimer's, cycling to end cancer. We love you and keep doing it.
Yeah, you're good people. Check this out. I got an email real quick here from Ryan Moore. He sent it to themorningstream@gmail.com. And he says this. You mentioned James Conn. He spelled it C-O-N-N mm-hmm. for some reason.
I know. The Comic-Con guys are already writing a cease and desist.
Oh, man. We're in trouble now. We're going to have to bomb him. Oh, no. That's a threat. Anyway. you mentioned James Caan a couple of days ago and how he is gone, and another one bites the dust. I think you have a Death Note style power. Love the show, though. All right, listen, Gen Z, could you put some proper commas and periods in there in your sentences?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, he did write "now he is gone" as opposed to "and how he is gone."
Oh, he did write "and now he is gone."
We talked about him before. I don't remember talking about James Caan before he died. I mean, that recently, but
I can't remember what the context was if we did. I don't remember it, but we always get accused of this.
Jamie would be able to tell us when the last time we talked about James Caan was.
Yeah. I know I talked about Scott Caan in some context. Dude from...
context.
Oh, jeez. Did not mean that. I regret it. I retract my statement. But we were talking about him, something to do with his Hawaii Five-0 business, and maybe it came up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Might have been on FilmSec then, because, yeah...
That's the other thing, is it could have been a totally different show. But anyway, thanks, Ryan, for pointing that out. We do like to You know, we like to murder old celebrities. That's what we do. And we like to say that we utter the words that the demons then come out of the ground and destroy their lives. That's how we do it.
That's right. Martin Shkreli, Martin Shkreli, Martin Shkreli, Martin Shkreli. Okay, please, let's go ahead and continue the show.
Even just his name sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Gosh, that guy sucks. All right. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks to everybody who supports us over on our Patreon. I think I wrote down some names, but put it on the wrong tab. Let me see who I wrote.
Bill Jones of Larkspur, Kentucky, and Mary Franklin of Schenectady, New York.
Sure, these are all real people, sure.
Sure.
Oh, here it is. I did put it in the wrong place. I put it on another tab. These are real names, or at least this is what they wrote. Since our last episode, we have been joined by Juice Farton. F-A-R-T-O-N. So I don't know.
All maybe it's real. I apologize if that is your actual real birth given name.
Yeah.
I laughed.
No way to know for sure. But yeah. And then Nectar B. Jr.
Okay. Wow. They seem like they'd be related.
He likes bees. And Jesse Conrad. And I'm gonna go ahead and say that Jesse Conrad's probably your real name. That seems right.
Oh, for sure. That one I feel pretty safe with. Yeah.
I love it though. Juice Farton, you're the bomb. Anyway, if you want to be like them, go to patreon.com/TMS and sign up today for all your other inquiries, whatever they may be. They'll be at frogpants.com/TMS, including one form that is linked right there that you can click on and request songs like the one Brian's about to tell us about. So Brian, who do we get a request from and what song is that?
We are going to thank Greg for Walkman today with a song. Hello there, Pete and Pete. July 11th will be my 55th year waking up on this beautiful planet. Did you know Greg for Walkman is older than us?
Dude, let me just say something about Greg for freaking Fountain of Youth Walkman, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks younger than me.
He totally looks younger than us.
He's
holy crap.
He's got this glorious beard with hardly any gray in it. You're a glorious older man. Congratulations. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
That's great.
Exactly. Yeah. I would love to celebrate it with a cover of my favorite Pixies song, Where Is My Mind? Can't wait to see you again in Vegas. What a blast. Hey, is it too early for a fish sandwich? Ibbit remix.
Ibbit remix.
Love you all, Greg for Walkman.
All right, we'll do an Ibbit remix. Hold on. Oops, there it is. Well, first we do this. Come on.
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich?
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
There you go. There's your remix.
That is such a great combo. Oh, my God.
Pretty good. Fit nicely.
All right. Well, I gave you some rock and roll for Indie in the Middle. Let's give you a little bluegrass for your closing song. This is a band called Trampled by Turtles. They released this single back in 2011. This is such a great version of this song. It's the Pixies' Where Is My Mind by Trampled by Turtles.
Oh, Where Is My Mind? That one? Is that the
one?
Yep. Oh, I love that song. Okay. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow with a big old episode for a Tuesday. So come on back. You hear? Thank you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You like your lasagna?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.